This is Brittany.
This is Sherry.
We're at the Uber Eats Music Hall in Berlin, Germany. And this is the pod that Jane likes.
Hey, this is Amy from Prague, and you're listening to The Pod That Jane Likes. And I get to celebrate my birthday tonight with Dave Matthews Band. Celebrate we will.
Reporting live from the Gasometer in Vienna, Austria.
This is the pod that Jane likes.
Hi, my name is Darren. I am here in Milan, Italy. I've been on the European tour since the beginning in Amsterdam, and I want to welcome you all to the pod that Jane likes.
Reporting live, it's Trisha, Emily.
It's Sean.
And I can already tell this Italian crowd is going to be wild.
Ciao a tutti, sono Michele.
Sono Elisa.
Sono Simone.
E state ascoltando the pod that Jane likes.
A Milano.
A Milano.
Hello everybody, here in Milan is Michele,
Elisa
and Simone,
and we are live here with the pod that Jane likes
in Milan.
Woo!
Yeah. Buongiorno, this is Megan coming to you live from Florence, and you're listening to the pod that Jane likes.
Reporting live in Florence. It is a wet one. They're probably gonna open with Fool in the Rain. Who knows? All I know is that you're listening to the pod that Jane likes.
This is a DMB Society podcast.
I got a sister named Jane.
And this is the pod that Jane likes. And now, here are your hosts, Jeanette, Trisha, Matt, and Sean. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the pod that Jane likes. Special welcome to our first-time listeners, as always. And we talked last time about Rosetta Stone. I did not take the time to learn how to say welcome in all the different languages that you might be tuning in from, because DMB is in Europe. And, you know, maybe you were handed a Pod That Jane Likes sticker. I don't know. Anyways, we hope that you like what you hear and you come back for more. Normally at this point in time, I say, as always, I am joined by Jeanette, Trisha, and Sean. However, today I am only joined here in person by Jeanette. Trisha and Sean are on assignment. They have seen a few shows. And we will hear from them later, boots on the ground in Italy, probably in between meals, I would guess, because that's all I can think of with Italy and all the pictures I'm seeing from there. So we'll hear from them later. The band is continuing along in Europe. We're going to talk about a few shows today that have happened before we kick it to Trisha and John for Italy. And we're excited to talk about it. A reminder that if you enjoy what you're hearing on the show today, please be sure to rate, review, and favorite us on your favorite podcast app, and give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Pod That Jane Likes, and check out our brand new website, podthatjanelikes.com, where you can find links to listen to the podcast. You can find links to buy a Pod That Jane Likes t-shirt. You can read a little bit more about your hosts. And speaking of which, why don't I bring in my other host here today, Jeanette? What is going on? How are you? Exciting times in these parts.
Exciting times. How are you? I'm so glad to be here. I am in the process of packing and getting ready to head to London. So I'm super excited that we've made it to this point in the tour.
Yes, so exciting. As I've said, you know, I can often be. I'm pretty good at not being too jealous when I'm not at a DMB show, but the fact that you're going to Royal Albert Hall to see DMB this week is really, really cool. I want to pick your brain a little bit about that as well after we talk about the shows today, because I think that that is so cool. Yeah. You know, just overall the setting the scene there. I've watched some DVDs. I've read a little bit about the venue, and it just seems like it's going to be really cool. And I'm feeling that the band will also think that it's pretty cool as well. And
absolutely,
you know, there might be, other than David Bowie covers, you know, there might be one or two special moments that we can talk about when you guys get home.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a really amazing vibe, you know, like being in that room, considering, you know, who people who have played there and considering the location of it and how gorgeous it is. I think there's definitely going to be a special vibe to these two shows. Also being the only real two night stand on this tour, I think there will definitely be a vibe, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm also curious. There is the line in A Day in the Life by the Beatles about the Albert Hall. And I am just curious, will we see Come Together? Will we see After Everything? Will we see...
After Everything is a Beatles cover.
Right, exactly. Exactly. We're kind of sliding that aside. It's pretty funny. So yeah, I'm curious to see what happens there. What are you most excited about for London in general?
I think just being in that venue. I think the fact that it's such a different type of venue. I've never seen them in a venue like that before. I mean, you know, I've seen them at Radio City Music Hall or the Beacon Theater in Manhattan. And those are, you know, historic, beautiful venues. But this, you know, this is of a different caliber, in my opinion, you know. And also, I've never crossed the pond to see them. So I'm super excited to see them in Europe. You know, I've been to Mexico, but I've never been outside of the country. So this is very, very exciting to just experience a completely different way of seeing them, being kind of like on a vacation and kind of exploring the city as well as seeing them all around. Just super excited about the whole entire agenda and itinerary, you know.
Yeah, Mexico, you get the local flair in Mexico, but you arrive, you are whisked away.
You're not going anywhere. You're in the resort the whole time. And that's great. You don't want, like, who wants to go anywhere? But this is a little different. This is exploring a city. You know, I've been to London before, but not for, you know, not as long of a time. And I'm really, really excited to see things that I haven't seen before.
Well, I cannot wait to hear from you guys when everybody is back next week. I am going to be the eager interviewer of the three of you for London.
You're going to have all the FOMO.
I'm going to have all the FOMO. and I'm going to say, tell me about this. Tell me about this. Tell me about this.
Right.
You know, so stay tuned for that. That next week, I think, is when we're going to do that. Once everybody is back stateside and catches up on some rest, I'm sure there'll be a little bit of jet lag. Speaking of jet lag, DMB continues to just plow through European countries. You know, they must not know what day it is or where they are, but we had ended our journey with them last time in Warsaw, correct? That was the last show that we had talked about.
Yep.
So since then, the first stop was Berlin. We had a number of tour debuts for this one. Pretty fun looking show on paper. Jeanette, what were your highlights, thoughts, comments, concerns, anything else?
This looked like a super energetic show. I mean, they opened with Grey Street and then we got Again and Again, which was a tour debut, which they haven't done in a while. And then you got a Fish Tender. So, I mean, like, you know, I could go home after that.
Yeah.
I really think then we still got four more tour debuts after that. So yes. this was a solid set, I have to say. Like, Berlin definitely got the good treatment with this set.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite things, I don't think I've ever mentioned this in a DMB show before, on the podcast before. One of my favorite things at a DMB show is when you hear a song like Stay, for example, here in the 17 spot. You hear a song like Stay and you're like, oh, this is going to be the closer. Okay, this was like a pretty good show, you know, all that. And then all of a sudden Stay is over and, you know, Dave hasn't taken his guitar off. Carter's still behind the set. And they go into, in this case, All Along the Watchtower. I just love that when you think, oh, this is it. And then, you know, you get a bonus song, if you will.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty cool. So you definitely got that here with the Stay, Watchtower, Stairway, back into Watchtower. Before you got your encore of Windows and Two Step, really good end run for
absolutely
Berlin.
I was a little surprised that we got windows in Germany because I thought that would be saved for Italy. But we'll, you know, and you'll hear more about that when we Trisha and Sean recap the Italy shows. But I was surprised to see it a little bit earlier. Maybe Dave wanted to practice it in front of a crowd. I don't know.
Yep.
You know, but you know, that it was inspired by Italy. So I was I was for sure he was good. They were going to do it in Italy.
Yeah.
You know,
hands down.
But I'm glad it, and I'm glad it's returned. I'm glad it's on this. You know, I'm glad they did it.
I always love hearing it. You know, we always talk about how we'll never forget the first time we heard it, you know, right at the beginning of COVID lockdown when Dave did that solo show from his house and had written, you know, within a month of COVID happening, had written this amazing song that just pulled at your heartstrings and made you feel all the feels. And, you know, being reminded of that is, you know, very powerful, especially in the places or the place and the places around which it was. It was inspired. So
right. I'm really anxious to hear Trisha and Sean's thoughts on it from here, actually being there and seeing it in Italy. I can't wait to hear
me
that.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Moving on from Berlin over to Prague. Awesome show, I thought, in Prague. And before we dive into the show itself, you know, listening to the pod that Jane likes, if you've listened to our older episodes, you know, we did a whole episode on posters, and we don't talk a ton about posters on here. I love posters. It's one of the things that, you know, that solidified my fandom even more with the band once they started producing posters for every show. And, you know, you do see a lot of kind of repetitive design kind of things as tours wind on. And but every once in a while, you get a poster that really is something special. And I think that this Prague poster is absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things to say about it, and I just want to make sure we took a minute to talk about it. If you haven't seen it, go take a look either on the Almanac, or you can find it on Instagram or Facebook. It's an image of a gentleman pouring a barrel into a big kettle, seemingly making beer. And I say seemingly making beer because, in addition to that part of it, the paper itself is hop scented, which is so crazy.
It's incredible. What an amazing idea.
What an amazing idea. Something that I have never heard of before.
Right.
We've never seen anything like that before. There's a really cool video by the artist, Little Room Agency, littleroom.agency on Instagram. You should go check it out if you haven't seen it. They show you the whole process of how the poster gets made on this Instagram reel. There's some, they pulled all the prints by hand, which is, you know, takes
incredible.
A while.
Yeah. But
absolutely incredible.
The handwork that went into that.
Yes. They also hand embellished them. Just overall, so awesome. I think, like, you know, MVP poster thus far for the year. I don't know how that gets outdone. It's just really cool. I don't own any posters from shows that I haven't been to, but this would be one that I would buy just 100%. To experience overall. If you can say experience as like a word for a poster, but I just want to make sure we talked about.
Yeah. That. Speaking of posters, I like to give a shout out to the podcast called Posters in Every Direction. I'm sure that they're going to dissect this poster, and so I'm looking forward to listening to their take on it, because you know they solely talk about posters, so it'll be interesting to hear what they say about this one, because this one is special. Like, I can't think of anything else that they have put out for any show that compares to the work that goes into this one. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's your Sperry's, but like, you know, they're not the time and effort it took to make every single one of these posters is insane.
Yeah. And Little Room Agency, just another shout out to them, littleroom.agency on Instagram. Go check that out. They are based in Prague. So it seems like there's been a trend of a lot of the posters being, you know, as local as they can get. And, you know, again, this is just a grand slam. You know, it's beyond a home run in my eyes as far as posters go. This is a grand slam, which leads us into a grand slam of a show as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first three songs, we get a pig opener. And Dreaming.
I mean, you know, you're at a good show when you get a pig opener, and then Dreaming Tree.
And then Dreaming Tree.
Yeah. They snuck in When the World Ends in there, but we don't have to discuss that.
I didn't bring it up on purpose. and then as you go on, again and again, sticking around for more plays, and a fun little run at the end as well, where you get a typical situation, what you are as the closer for the main set. That's really fun as well. I thought that this was a really cool show. I think very strong beginning and very strong end. Mm-hmm. And the middle was fun too.
Yeah, I mean, again, 5 tour debuts. Yep, 5 tour debuts, including Pig, Dreaming Tree, Every Day, What You Are, and Granny in the Encore, which is always exciting, right? Like, not typical encore song. Mm-hmm. So you think, like, oh, you're going to get, your typical Watchtower or something that, they normally would play in the encore, and then you get Granny. So, that also kind of, I guess makes up for the fact that they really ended with Shake Me Like a Monkey, but I'll take it.
Again, Jenna, I didn't bring it up on purpose.
I'll still take it.
Yep. So moving on to Vienna, we had talked about this venue in Vienna being really cool. The gasometer.
The gas meters, yeah.
Or however you...
Or gasometer, or gas meters, I don't
gas
know.
Gas meter, like a cylinder, right? Like a cylindrical building amongst other cylindrical buildings where there's a concert venue,
right?
That, if I remember correctly, doesn't hold too many people. So this was one of those really unique venues. We talk about all the barns and amphitheaters that you can see DMB in during the course of any given summer. None are as unique as this.
Right.
So really, really cool. Really, really cool place. We had a lot of stuff that we've seen on this tour stick around for this show. I think very notable is the encore here, Some Devil Into Crash. That's a very interesting.
Very random.
Crash Into Me, arguably being DMB's biggest song that they've ever had, but mm-hmm. a song that typically does not close a show.
Right.
If it's in
the encore, it's usually an E1. It's never an E2. So it does. Crash has a great build at the end,
But, oh, I love Crash. Yeah. I love Crash.
It's just not your typical show closer,
Yep.
So that was an interesting choice.
Yep. Absolutely.
There was no tour debuts, but it wasn't a disappointing set at all. There were some real heavy hitters here. Warehouse opener is, I love a warehouse opener.
Yep.
It's not typical. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, what a crowd pleaser. And Rapunzel and You Never Know, Lie in Our Graves. Mm-hmm. There were some real, bangers in this set.
Yep. Real crowd pleasers, I would
say.
Interesting note on the on the original set list, Crush was supposed to close this. So Some Devil Crush, which is that's a pretty standard closer nowadays for DMB. So interesting. I don't know if somebody had a sign or if Dave was just feeling Crash.
Maybe they had a time limit or something, because Crash is a little shorter than Crush. Yeah, but
as Dave said, he doesn't play Crash Into Me as much anymore because he feels somewhat embarrassed by it. So
yeah, he says it's not for people over 50.
That's right. So
he's wrong though.
It's fun. I enjoyed hearing that.
Yeah.
And so then we swing our way into Italy, and we're gonna toss it to our European reporters very shortly. Jenna, any quick thoughts on the Italy shows?
Well, I love to see Seek Up. I'm glad that made its tour debut, as well as Boa, Best of What's Around. The fact that that came out is so pleasing.
Yeah,
I hope both of those songs stick around for the rest of the European tour.
Absolutely. Only two things that I wanted to say, because I want to make sure that we toss it to the experts here. Mm-hmm. But here on out, coming back after 208 shows, is very interesting. So hasn't been played since 2021, was a staple after Come Tomorrow. Right. I mean, like every other E1, it felt like we were getting here on out. So that's really, really notable to come back.
You know, and what I think is so interesting about Here On Out, and I don't know if you noticed this or if anybody else is aware of this, but when, I don't know if Carter did it this time, but he used, during Here On Out, Carter doesn't play. So he mm-hmm. would sit on the back of his drum kit mm-hmm. and meditate while Dave was playing it, which I always thought was so interesting. Like, why that song? But he would sit on the back, you know, not facing the crowd, and meditate during Here On Out, when, during that tour when they played it all the time.
Interesting.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Like, it's just like that song just took him to that place, I guess.
Maybe Dave wrote it for Carter. We just have no idea.
Yeah, maybe we got that song all wrong.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention, which is, you know, I want to talk about this when we're all back together, is the PNP into Two Step.
Yes.
For the encore in Florence. That is a dream, right? Dream scenario for mm-hmm. any DMB fan. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that we would absolutely eat that up as the four of us do, with, you know, special moments and things like that that we always talk about. But PNP into Two Step, I mean, that's really cool. I've seen PNP into some random stuff, but not for a very long time. And I don't think they've done a PNP into anything else transition in quite a while as well. So
no, I think I've only
let alone Two Step.
Right. I think I've only been at one show where I've seen PNP not go into Rapunzel, and it was Lionel Graves. So that was amazing. But it was in the mid set, like this at the end, you know, you're thinking, oh, all right, we're going to close with Rapunzel. Cool. And then they break into Two Step. Like that feeling must have been great.
Rivals in my eyes, like thinking you're getting Every Day and getting Halloween, you know.
It's, yes. It's, right.
It's that level of.
Yeah.
Of
surprise.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Like, this is amazing. Yeah. So I'm sure that they're going to talk about that. We will talk about that when we're back, and we will talk about a lot of other stuff too. We've got a whole European experience to unpack. We're going to have Royal Albert Hall to unpack. We should also say that we may or may not have put out a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame emergency episode, but there is way more to unpack with that as well. Exciting times here. Yes. In DMB world, as I think I said yesterday, exciting times. And then this is all going to be so crazy, because as all of this has been happening, like, the calendar has been moving, and like, next week is May, which is going to kick off the
summer tour. It's
and
insane.
Before you know it,
here we are.
We are going to be coming to you from you know, every corner of the country.
Yep. Right.
With DMB. So pretty wild stuff. It's gonna come hot and heavy here very shortly. And it already is.
Yeah. We're already boots on the ground.
We are. So we are going to kick it to Sean and Trisha, and they're gonna talk to you about their experience in Italia with DMB.
Ciao.
Thanks, Jeanette and Matt. We are coming to you in Florence after night two of DMB's second show in Italy. They started out this Italian run in Milan, and then they rolled into Florence for the second and final show of Italy, and now the band is entering just a little mini break here in the European tour before it resumes in a few days in London. But certainly plenty to talk about, both with the shows itself and, of course, the overall experience in Italy. And I think that there's no better place to start the Italy conversation than with the Italian crowd. the Italian crowd. And I think that this has been the case across Europe. People are commenting about this, and seemingly every year when the band makes a European tour, you hear people talk about the fact that the audience at these shows is so very different than what we're used to in the States. It's a totally different experience. I know that a million people have talked about it before, but it's so glaring, it's so contagious when you're at the show. I'm talking about the fact that when the performances are happening, it is essentially silent in the venues. Yeah. It is, people are there, they're excited, they're having a great time. Once the actual song begins, though, it is really silent. The audience is glued to what is happening on the stage. Of course, in GA, everybody's standing. There aren't seats in GA, and in the seated area, everybody, 99% of the crowd is seated. They're taking in these performances. When the song ends, people are, of course, excited, and they erupt with applause, and they're yelling and whistling, and then the next song begins, and we're right back to that silence, that respect. It is such a joy to take in a show that way. It's such a joy to see the level of excitement, the level of there's almost a level of awe coming from the Italian audience with what they're experiencing. And it makes sense, right? The band is here every 4 or 5 years, if that. 2019 was, of course, the last time that they made the trip to Europe. So it's not an everyday occurrence. And I do think that as a result of that, it makes it all that more special.
That's right. I mean, when you said awe, that's exactly what it felt like. I mean, the audience is just so fixated on the band. You could see the sparkle in their eyes, and they're just so happy and grateful to be there. It is very contagious. The fans were great. And I'll just quickly shout out Michaela and Elisa and Simona, who did our intro. Three people that live in Italy. Michaela's a big fan. He saw the band in Milan in 2019. They rolled up to the gate with full bottles of wine, which was really funny, just to give you a sense of this Italian crowd. I mean, their tailgate included bottles of wine, which was fun. But it was just such an honor to be. I just felt very humbled and very grateful and very honored to be in that crowd, experiencing the band the way they experience it. It was just really wonderful.
It's a treat. Yeah. It's absolutely a treat. I could not help, especially night one in Milan, because it was such a new experience. I could not help but continually over the course of the night get lost in watching the audience.
Right.
Whether it was watching people in GA, whether it was watching people in the seats, it's such a different way to take in a show. It was almost you almost had the ability to take in the show through the eyes of people who maybe this was their first show, and if it wasn't their first show, they haven't had the opportunity to go to many shows because the band just isn't here very often. It was such a treat to see families bringing their children and letting them experience it. I know all of these things happen in the States, but they happen every year, multiple times a year. Here, it's just a very different experience, and it really is a pleasure to kind of get to consume the band that we get to consume all the time in the States through the eyes of people that, at least in person, unless they're making the trip to America, they don't get to see this band very often.
No, and it maybe just to put a bow on that, you turned to me during the show as you were Sean really was staring at the audience the whole time and watching them take it in. You said, I feel like I'm sharing our band with them. Like, because we see them so much that they don't have the opportunity to. So it's like, it was very cool to see it through other people's eyes, for sure.
Yeah, no question. I'll tell you what else was cool. That those first couple notes in Milan, and we're going to jump in and talk about these shows really quickly, because the band takes the stage in Milan, and boom, you get the pig opener. Oof. There's not a lot of songs that are going to stand out above Pig as, you know, the most desirable songs that you can have to kick off a show. So that was a real treat. Just to kind of quickly go over that show, a couple of the other things that really jumped out to me some individual things. Stolen Away on 55th and 3rd gets performed. Maybe not something that normally jumps out at me on a set list, but I really was fixated on how good Rashawn was sounding during that song. On point, really sounded fantastic. And it was one of those things that as the song wrapped up, I couldn't stop commenting about how good that horn section sounded during 55th and 3rd. The other two things that I want to point out actually come at the end of the show. In the encore, really nice to have here on Outback.
Yep.
It popped up in the E1 slot. It's a song that had a long run in that E1 slot. And this was the first performance since September 2021. So that was a treat. And then one thing that I was hoping for, and we did get it in Milan, I'm sorry, and it was such a treat, was Singing from the Windows. And of course, if you're not familiar with the backstory of that, it's a song that of course comes to us from the middle of the pandemic. Dave performed it when the world was essentially still shut down. And the inspiration from the song came from an event in Rome where there were people who were literally hanging out of their windows and singing to doctors and nurses and first responders who were coming back from tremendously long shifts, and they were sort of serenading them on their walks home. Just a really beautiful scene that set the tone, that was the inspiration for this song. So to hear Dave tell that story, and we've heard him tell that story a bunch of times before, but to hear him tell that story in Italy, in front of an audience, a mostly Italian audience, it was really special. And there's no question about it. There were some moments over the course of this show in which the band was dealing with issues, obstacles. There were a lot of obstacles in this Milan show that they were trying to work through in the moment. But there were so many of these little moments, and Windows was one that I was sort of anticipating being in Italy. But it was really, really special to have that happen night one in Italy.
Do you know what I did not expect in Italy, or maybe even on this Europe tour, was Seek Up. That tour debut of Seek Up was so good. The band, I just feel like that intro and the outro, actually, every single band member shines in that song. It was so cool. If anybody in the band was ever listening to this, I would say keep Seek Up around in these small little venues. It's just, I know that it's a very long song in comparatively speaking, but if you're hanging in there and you're watching every band member, they sounded excellent.
They did. And I think that the key takeaway for me is one of the things you mentioned in there is playing in these smaller venues. Now, the Milan venue, at least for European standards, is on the larger side, but still smaller than indoor venues that we're used to in the States. And we're going to jump into Florence here in a second, and the Florence venue was about half the size of Milan, much smaller. That song in particular, it's hard to kind of put my finger on why, but that song in particular fills a smaller room so well. And it sounds great in an amphitheater in the middle of the summer. It sounds great in a massive arena in the States, but in a smaller room, that song just really, it has a vibe to it. And it from the first couple notes, the entire room kind of takes on a different feel. So from Milan, the band packed up and headed over to Florence for the final night of the two-night Italian run. Before we jump into that, one thing that I did think that was worth noting is I think the band, whether it was band management, whether it was the band itself, they very much did treat this like a two-night stand. Obviously, one show was in Milan, one show was in Florence. If you're taking the train back and forth, it's about a two-hour train ride. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of a distance in between the two cities. But I think we learned that even prior to the Milan show beginning, when the poster got announced. Because if you happen to see the poster, it's the first poster from this European tour that was put out for both nights. It's one poster for both of the Italian shows. And then as night two was unfolding, you could see that the band was also picking up on that, treating them very much like two separate shows, Mad Men's Eyes being the one exception, which I think it's safe to say we're getting that at every show. The band's feeling it. It obviously has a message that they want out there at all of these shows too. But they definitely treated this as an Italian run with these two nights. And what a show Florence turned out to be.
Florence, I'll just tell you, you know, as Sean said, it's a 2-hour train ride. You get to Florence and it's beautiful and there's people everywhere and you feel this energy. And I'll just give you our firsthand experience on the ground. We, got to Florence and we were just excited and, our hotel's next to a record store. We had a few drinks. And then, in Italy, you can't hail a taxi necessarily. You need to either walk to a taxi stand or you need to call for one. And it started downpouring. It was a torrential downpour. We got a little stuck. We had to figure out the train system. Luckily, we found some great Italian fans that directed us. And we rolled in right at 8 o'clock p.m. for the band to open with When the World Ends and then roll right into the Stone Idea of You 741. I mean, it was remarkable. It was amazing.
Yeah, so let's just back up there for a second because I think most of the time when the World Ends opens a show, it's not the most notable way to open a show. Whether you're set list watching, whether you're in person, When the World Ends is... The band has become very comfortable with it at the start of sets. So here we get a When the World Ends opener. However, there was, I do think a pretty noteworthy note. I don't know if it was intentional, but the show took place on April 20th. Mm. And the band's performance of When the World Ends is the 420th full band performance of When the World Ends. Is it a coincidence? I'd like to think that it wasn't because that's a pretty fun thing to happen if they had any awareness that was going on. But I did think that was a really cool nugget, the 420th full band performance of When the World Ends happening on 420.
Maybe they were burning one. Sure.
Maybe. Maybe. But When the World Ends, Stone Idea of You, you knew from that point on that this night was going to be a little bit different in the way that it unfolded. Of course, I mentioned Mad Men's Eyes a little bit earlier because Mad Men's Eyes is the only song that gets the back-to-back plays. As the show kind of continued, though, Best of What's Around, Monsters, Spaceman, Busted Stuff pops back out again. Ooh. So happy that has kind of become a thing a little bit in Europe with multiple performances now. Just a really, really solid set list without many duds at all. I mean, you really have to search in the set list because there aren't many of them. And then I think maybe the most notable part of the night came in the encore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dave comes out solo, gives us the Some Devil performance. Then they roll into PNP, which they did play Rapunzel the night before.
Yep.
In Milan, so I think that immediately you know your radar goes off. What are they going to do with this PNP? Well, what they did with it is they went PNP into two-step. It's never happened at a DMB show before. First time that it's ever happened. What a treat that was.
That was so cool. And the crowd, you could just see them as soon as two-step started, like just bouncing up and down. It was just so fun. Just to back up for a minute, they did play Seven, which is, I think, a song that we could debate on this podcast. But I was just taking in the crowd on the part where Dave is saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And looking at the crowd all saying that, like back to him and him looking at them, it just felt like so pure and like so sweet. And then, Best of What's Around, that's just a song these days. It's just not on the radar to get played for some reason. It's just such a treat. Every time it's played, it makes everybody so happy. So the vibes in Florence were just super happy. And I thought the one cool stat that you put out on the DMB Times was cool, that Busted Stuff, 15th performance in the past 14 years I mean, wow.
Yeah. No,
never
I mean,
played.
Obviously Busted Stuff was MIA for a very, very, way too long. Hopefully we never have to endure a Busted Stuff drought like that. Another thing that I think is worth noting as we're just kind of bouncing all over the set list is if you heard Two-Step during the summer in the States, this Two-Step is way more reminiscent to the way the Two-Steps used to sound in terms of the size, in terms of the fierceness that the band was playing with. This Two-Step was really, really good. I did see Tapers at the show in the first night in Milan. I don't know if I saw a Taper in Florence or not. I certainly hope so. And if that is the case, you definitely want to get your hands on a tape and check out this PNP into Two-Step. What a blast that was. So an incredible show. And I think that this Florence show really hammers home the point that this European tour is just different.
It's
We talked a lot leading into this, and not in a negative way at all. We sort of thought we knew what to expect as the band was making their first trip to Europe since 2019. They were going to be promoting Walk Around the Moon because it was their first time here since that album release. And they are doing that. There's no question that they're doing that. But these shows are so different. The way that they're weaving those songs in are so different. And it has been just a treat. It's been a treat. The environment has been incredible. There was a moment last night. This was a first for me. I've never seen this at a concert or any event before. They actually had people walking through GA with mini kegs on their back, almost like a backpack full of beer. And they would just walk up to you and you could pay a couple of euros and have them fill your cup up with beer. I've never experienced anything like that. After the show, all of the concession stands are still open, serving alcohol, and people are just hanging out in the concourses, talking about the show, talking about their favorite moments, having another drink. Really different. And such a treat from the fans to the performances. This little Italian run was really special. I know you talked about, last thing that I wanted to mention, I know you talked about some of the fans that we got a chance to interact with. On a personal note, we got to, on both nights, we got to have some great conversations with our friend Leo from over at dmbremasters.org. And of course, Matt and I have the Pod That Jane Likes spinoff podcast Remastered. And Matt and Jamie and those guys do such great work. And it was really cool to see Leo, who is a local here, along with all of the DMB Confusion, the fan group of Italian DMB fans. Such a treat to see that whole gang, that whole excitement. What a fun two nights.
Really great to see Leo and his daughter. He got Carter sticks. And let me tell you, those sticks were tore up. They were
It was post two-step.
They were ripped up. It was cool.
They were.
It was very cool to see. But yeah, shout out to Leo and DMB Confusion, their Italian fan community, who made their own shirts that were very cool. And on, you know, you had said earlier that the band was treating this like a two-night stand. And I'm like, actually, I think the community here was treating it as a two-night stand. And that influenced the band here because it was a pretty big group of them that wore their shirts, brought their glow sticks, made their moon face signs that they like waved up in the air. I mean, such a cool group of people, and truly, truly fun to be in their space.
Yeah. What a joy, what a treat to get to experience the band in this capacity. We're going to debate this ad nauseum, I'm sure, at the end of this tour, but potentially the high watermark of Europe 2024, heading into the really anticipated two-night stand in London. So excited to see what that brings, and already can't wait to talk about more about these Italian shows in our recap episode. Can't wait to see what happens in London. Great times all around.
Amazing.
So, grazie, right? Is that right? Did I say it right?
I mean, close, I guess.
To
Trisha
and Sean for that lovely
I'm not Italian, so
Italian
I don't know.
Recap. And as I said, we can't wait to hear more from the band. We can't wait to see more shows and get the summer tour going.
London, baby.
London, all the things. It's exciting. It's exciting.
Yes,
so,
very much so
we will talk to you. We'll be back here next week for sure with something. It's going to be a little all over the place still for a little bit longer, but we are going to be back here as soon as we can to talk to you about all
things
D&D.
Yeah, we want to give you guys the boots on the ground experience. So we're a little, you know, off schedule. We're releasing stuff as soon as we get it. Because we want you to hear first and we want to give you the full on experience. So
that's right.
We really hope you appreciate it. We've been having a great time covering this European tour.
Absolutely. So from myself, Jeanette, and our pals abroad, we bid you adieu, and we will talk to you next time on the Pod the Chain Links.
See you on the road.